Hello and welcome back to the worst ever podcast. I'm really up in my game. It is Howard H. Smith, lead scum here. I am with, as usual, Mr. Man City fan himself, David Rothney.
Hello, Howard.
Hello. And David Klein, Liverpool fan. Oh no, you're not here, are you, Dave? Never mind. We can talk about him.
Yeah.
So it's just Dave and I this week. So really the opposite ends of the scale. You couldn't get more two more opposites than kind of us two from last season. You know, like
Yeah.
you did the treble. We got relegated. We had slightly different footballing experiences.
That's true. But
Yeah.
we've got to look forward. So obviously, we're in international week, so nothing much is happening. But how are you? Leeds have had a couple of decent results since we last spoke. And we talked at length about that on the last podcast. But how are you feeling about
Good. Now
things?
the transfer window's closed. We kept Nonto, which I always thought and said that thought we would because he had a 4-year deal. So like fuck off anybody, basically.
Yeah.
Unless he's prepared to completely down tools and go on strike and do a Van Hooydonk, then it's not happening. And it didn't. Farke did what he did at Norwich with Cantwell and somebody else who was fucking about down there and just said, right, okay, getting the stiffs. And when he says getting the stiffs, he means it. As in, those players who were had made it clear that they didn't want to be here after the transfer window. Not only do they train on their own, not with the kids, on their own, but they are not in the building at any time that the first team are. They are completely so the three. So I think we had four players who had to come in. Nobody else around. Do train come in? Weren't allowed to use the canteen.
Why
They're
not?
basically because they've basically said they don't want to be there. They want to be gone by the transfer window. So Farke's like, well,
Well,
great then. Let's pretend like you're not fucking here already, shall we?
are they
That's the
allowed
way
to
you
use
want to
the
play it.
vending machine though? Because it could bring a bit of a crucial revenue for you boys, that.
If they have got a vending machine, I would venture you don't have to put money in it to actually get stuff out.
Well,
Do you know what I
maybe you
mean?
should think about that.
Well, it's def if my power within the club was that facilitated the arrival of a vending machine, I'd be all over that shit.
Man City haven't got where they are today,
It's true. Yeah,
without charging a pound for a can of Coke. I mean, that's where all the money's come from, right?
fair enough. I'll get on to Bunzl. See if they've got any lying around.
Bunzl. But a couple of
Yeah.
things you mentioned. You said Van Hooydonk. Did you? Is
Yes.
that Pierre Van Hooydonk? I think if we have any listeners. If there was a subset of those listeners that we would describe as younger listeners, they wouldn't know who you're talking about. That's an amazing lad from the past.
It is good old Pierre.
What did he do?
He went on strike full on properly,
Who was he playing for?
Nottingham Forest,
Ah, that's right.
and he wanted out, and he absolutely dug his heels in, refused to play, went on strike, eventually got back in the team, and his first game back, Stuart Pearce blasted a free kick, and Van Hooydonk sort of ran over, and give him a hug, and Stuart Pearce just pushed him away, pushed him off him, was like, fuck off. I just thought, like,
Nice.
I know. It's like, it's just classic Pierce, really. So anyway, yeah, there you go, kids. Pierre Van Hooydonk. He was actually quite good.
Because I was going to draw the parallel, a more modern parallel is Mateus Nunes, who we signed for Wolves during the transfer window. He kind of refused to train, which is always a bit try and engineer a move. Never a good look, that, is it?
Well, it was. We didn't have players refusing to train. We had players refusing to play.
No, but I mean, generally, it's not a good look, is it?
No, not at all, not at all. Well, Nonto went old school. He started off by refusing to play. He then went like proper transfer request. And the thing is, we've since found out, or we found out at the time, that Nonto's agent has two clients. And funnily enough, they both put transfer requests in around the same time. So clearly his agent has got a big bill coming in.
He wants the bungalow.
Yeah, basically. So, the thing is, just badly advised. It's like, look, mate, you've got a 4-year contract. Refusing to play, putting transfer requests in. I don't think you understand the power dependency framework here. Yeah. It's you have none and the club has it all. You're on a 4-year deal and you're 1 year in. You're fucked, mate. You're staying here. You're not Brendan Aaronson. You know, you're not somebody that we want to get rid of. So, it's not happening. Looking all right, actually. Farker looks, I like the cut of his jib. He's got some unbelievable hard. It's been unbelievable hard. The players have been working unbelievable hard, which always makes me laugh. He's got a certain way about him. Yeah. And a very interesting interview that I listened to this morning with Angus Kinnear, our chief exec, which is really interesting. He fronts up on a podcast, doesn't duck a question for 75 minutes. I don't mean he then ducks a question. It's a 75-minute interview. He's excellent. And basically, the long and the short of it is, if Rajani had fucking sold up at the end of the season before last, when we managed to stay up, then we'd have had the finances to kick on, which would have made all the difference, and been great, but he didn't. So, you know, and also the reason why Southampton and Leicester were able to flog players for loads of money is they had been in the Premier League longer and those players did not have release clauses because it wasn't seen. Relegation wasn't seen as a danger, so it wasn't put in their contract. Whereas all our players had relegation clauses, so that's kind of, you know, cleared up a little bit of that Leeds mess. But anyway, look, I'm conscious there's people listening who aren't Leeds fans, and also don't really give a shit about the Championship, which is me too as well, to be honest. But you know, fuck it, we're down there, so we'll have it for a season.
Yeah, so it's international week, so a couple of things have come out, haven't they? First of all, what do we think about, you know, England as we stand? I mean, a couple of...
I was wondering whether to bring this up or not, and this might seem petty to some. Well, that turned out to be a complete anti-climax, didn't it? I probably put a fucking banjo in this section.
What do you say?
And we've only got a short amount of time. And just if you've been listening to the banjo, quite enjoying it, that was a lot better than the absolute fucking bollocks that I've just poured into Dave's ear for about the last 3 minutes.
It's always nice.
You went international.
Yeah, that's right. What I was gonna say. Well, first of all, yeah, Henderson basically coming, you know, he's given an interview about Saudi and what you made of that. I've got my views on it. I think he's kind of, I don't know, I just sort of think you have to sort of be honest about these things and say something like, I'm 30, whatever old he is. I was offered an extraordinary amount of money, life-changing, which is going to set me up. That's why I've gone. I think, you know, it's unfair that footballers are kind of expected to be politicians, whereas no other business is held to account for doing business in Saudi. But that said, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, basically, I've listened to the Athletic podcast about the interview because there was no audio or video. One of the interviewers from the Athletic is a member of the LGBT community. That's the way it was described. So I presume that means he's gay.
Right.
Which again, and Jordan Henderson specified these two journalists. So not ducking anything apart from the issue.
It's like standing on a wall, isn't it, for a free kick, and you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, basically, he's gone, right, I'm going to do one interview, get two journalists, make sure one of them's gay. All right, job done, isn't it, eh?
Yeah.
Now, my take on this is, I've got to admit, I heard somebody from an LGBT football group who floated the idea that Henderson shouldn't be picked for England because he's playing in Saudi. And I just thought, if you want to set back LGBT equality in football, that would be a great thing to do. That's a great way of going about it. For people who already have a bit of a problem, but maybe not much, they're on the fence about how they feel about the LGBT community, we're going to push them off into the no, fuck them category.
Yeah.
If you start that bullshit.
Seriously. Yeah?
Also, which countries do we then stop picking players? You can't do that. You've then got to look at every country every player plays and go, right, well, is this acceptable? What have they done recently? It's not achievable. It's also, well, it's just not sensible.
Yeah.
Anywho, the Jordan Henderson issue, I think he has, the contents of the interview is he has said, look, I was basically being told by Liverpool that I wasn't going to play as much next season and blah, blah. But he's basically tried to paint the picture of, I'm not going to play much. That might damage my England place. Calvin Phillips, Harry Maguire, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
And I don't see how playing in like League Two helps, if it's week in, week out. Also, point of order, Jordan Henderson's debut in a 60,000-seater arena, they had just under 30,000 in, and 10,000 of those were away fans. So that must have been an awesome occasion for the lad. I mean, to be honest, one thing that hasn't been discussed is, I wonder how he feels. If you're playing at Anfield a lot, and you have been for years, and now you're playing in the baking heat in stadiums that are a third full, and as far as you know, they're only there because they've been forced in by gunpoint. No, it's a joke. But, you know, well, that's shit. The only upside to this is the money. And as I've said all my life, never take a job for the money, because it's never enough. It's because whatever you're being asked to do, it won't be enough. You will reach a point where you go, I can't fucking do this, and I don't give a shit what I'm paid. I don't expect any of those players to stay out there for long, to be honest. But I agree with you. And what I would have done is I would have said, look, you know, when I come home or whatever, I'm going to put this money to good use. You know, this is a great, and you know, judge me long term, not short term.
But I mean, yeah, and the thing is that what was Andy Murray, right? He was asked once, I don't know when this was, but this came up this week. He was asked about would he play in a Saudi league or whatever in tennis tournament, and he said no, I wouldn't. He said, but if a Saudi league got ranking status and it affected my ranking, then that's a different question. And I just thought that was a really sort of good, sort of honest sort of way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which was like, I'm not going to go just for the hell of it. But yeah, if it becomes part of the thing and I'll have to think about it. You know, he kind of said it, thought it thinking out loud a bit. And I think, well, that, you know, like I said, I don't blame footballers for getting involved with politics. But it's just, if you're going to be an LGBT ally, you know, that suggests principles. And once you start kind of diluting that, you know, it does matter, because you've come out and said you're an ally. So then you can't then go to this homophobic country. Just say you're going for the money, you know. I mean, I totally agree with you. No job's worth the money. I mean, when I worked in a petrol station, it was, you know, I wasn't earning much, but I had to go. When I filled up the car, it was a petrol car and I filled it with diesel. I mean, I didn't stand down. I was sacked. But I didn't enjoy the job. But no, you're right. I mean, I'm being flippant. But you're right. And I think he needs a bit of honesty. And he said that thing, which was kind of a bit of a politician's answer, when he said, "I'm sorry if people are upset." Yeah. I hate that. That is a sorry, not sorry.
And yes.
Jordan's better than
it's,
that.
It's kind of passive aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry if you're upset.
Well, it's exactly what another subject we're going to get onto, but it's exactly what the Spanish dickhead did. His apology straight out was a non-apology. By the way, the only sports people that you get genuine answers from, like Andy Murray, etc., the only sports people you're going to get genuine, honest answers from are the ones who are not being offered the money. You know, that's basically Andy Murray. Yeah, you've got it. It's not going to happen. He's too old. So hence, honest answers.
Yeah.
You're going to get honest answers from people who have absolutely no chance of actually being in that position. And those people who are.
Well, no, he said that if it became a ranking tournament, he would think about it. I mean, that's what you're saying. But then why not just say it? I mean, that's the point. I mean, James Milner went to Brighton. You know, I mean, Henderson could have gone to anywhere. I don't know how much money he's got, but he's financially independent, I imagine, and probably doesn't need to work for the rest of his life. So,
yes.
You know, the old Bill Hicks, you know, how much money do you need? You know, and I'm not criticising him for that at all. He can have as much money as he likes. But don't pretend it's about something else. You know, well, just own it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, as well, is like, you know, it's just a bit disingenuous, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you may as well have said, "I've come over because I really like sand." You know, it's just like, come on, dude.
Just, you know,
and at least try and make a case. Try and make a case for we're going to build this league. You watch, the Saudi league is going to be, you know, huge. But this is the thing. That's what players going to America are doing, and what they understand. You know, and if you ever needed any clearer indication as to who is the better player, Messi or Ronaldo. Messi. Gone to the States, not Saudi Arabia, and is absolutely killing it with a smile on his face, filling stadiums, people love it. And in Saudi Arabia, the stadiums are not full. You know, this is literally, and I think ultimately why it's going to fail and what the Saudis don't understand is you can't reverse engineer your football. You can't basically build amazing teams and then hope loads of people are going to, you know, you build it and they will come.
Yeah, maybe. Like, yeah, maybe you know, in 20 you're, years' you're, time, you're, though.
You've got to... Well, yeah, but in 20 years' time, there'll still be a massive gap because in 20 years' time, they'll have got to where leagues are now. You know, it basically, you're looking at, I mean, that Jordan Henderson example, that's a third full stadium. How are you filling that stadium? Who are you buying? Who are you going to buy that's going to fill that stadium? There's not enough world-renowned players to draw in the crowds that aren't there. What they don't understand is you can have the greatest players, but with no atmosphere,
right. It
won't be thrilling. It won't be fun. And that's what people buy into. They buy into the Premier League because of the blood, thunder and the atmosphere and every... And what do all the players say? Every ground's full. It's fucking amazing. But there you go.
Yeah, true. Maybe they should reach out to the LGBT community in Saudi Arabia and then they could come and watch some football. Anyway,
absolutely, yeah.
We're not angry, Jordan. We're not angry, Jordan. We're just disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And also, correction, not life-changing money because he's already like rich beyond his means. It's just, you know, three or four generations down the line changing money.
Yeah.
So on to the head of the Spanish FA, just grabbing hold of the face of his female captain, giving her absolutely no choice. And no. At the time, I thought, oh, you crazy Mediterranean men.
Oh.
I didn't. At the time, I just thought, eh?
I know. It's completely jarring, isn't it? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Now the thing is that because the fallout and everything else, because it's still going on, you start getting people who've basically just got, like, you know, they're worn out with the whole story. It's like, is that still running? And so by now, all these weeks on, it's becoming, oh, fucking hell, all this fuss over a kiss. And it's like, oh, you've fucking missed the point there, haven't you, really? You know, okay, have you got a wife? Yes. Shall we replay the situation for you to make it perfectly clear what's gone on here? Oh, it would really fucking annoy you and piss you off, would it? Oh, you'd spark him out, would you? That's why the story's still running, you dickhead. You know, it's just... I mean, yeah. You do that in a nightclub, someone's knocking you out.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And the reason the story is still running is because Spain, they're fucking... It's just like the footballing organisation won't take action against itself. No. Because why would you? They're all covering their backs. So the reason why the player has had to come out and make a police complaint means that the government can actually get involved and sack the twat.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's weirdo Spanish law that's dragged this out so long, but also there's the tone deaf old bastards in the Spanish. I mean, I thought our bunch of dusty old cunts were useless.
No, it's not only that, is it? I mean, it's the fact his mum has gone on hunger strike. I mean, that gives you right there how that society was created.
Can I say two words which will sound incredibly patronising, but I believe them to be true in this situation and at the heart of what is the issue? Latin mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, it's the crazy Latin. Mother will be, he didn't mean it. Everybody thinks my son's a rapist. No, 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 that is not what's happened here at all. No. But also, classic Latin mentality. Where did she go on hunger strike? In the church. I mean, that's what everyone does, right? If somebody close to you has been accused of something, you fuck off down the local church and refuse to have breakfast. Always works for me. I mean, yeah, that's...
Yeah, I'll see you down there.
Yeah. But it is. It's just fucking... And for all of you, like, listening, you know, for both of you listening, who've been amazed this story has had so many legs, it just keeps rambling because people in, you know, to do with it are just acting in such bizarre, strange ways.
Here's something I wanted to ask you about. I'm going to put it out there. Eddie Howe is the Mark Hughes of Newcastle United.
Ooh. Oh, right. Okay. So you're saying
when City were taken over, we had.
You already had Hughes. They brought Howe in.
I know. Yeah. No. No. Okay. All right. Before we split out, we can get into that.
Yeah. Before we split out,
I'm just putting my thesis out there. Good young manager. I mean, I know you don't like Mark Hughes, but he was at the time when he was at City. He was, you know, it was one of those brilliant appointments where he thought, oh, good. I mean, I know you're right. He was appointed before the takeover, but they kept him for a good kind of season
And gave him money, and he bought company.
Yeah, exactly. And we thought, oh, this is good. He's going to buck the trend here. We're going to have a British manager managing one of the so-called top six clubs, although we weren't really top six then. So I just worry about how, because I think, yes, they've had difficult fixtures, but I wonder whether, you know, I mean, how long are they going to give him? You know, because now the game has changed, isn't it? They're now in the Champions League. If they lose... what, three more in a row, four more in a row? What, you know, what happens? At what point do they, or do they? Or is it just that they've been unlucky with the fixtures? Man City, Liverpool, who have they played?
I just think it's way too early.
I agree.
Early to panic. Yeah, but I don't think the ownership will be either. Because I don't know about anyone else, but this discussion was had last season. Newcastle had a terrible run. didn't look like they were going to make the Champions League. And everyone started going, ooh, Eddie Howe, Santi Nice, or ended up in the Champions League. They're also, you know, I think about a season ahead of where they thought they'd be. Didn't think they'd be in the Champions League yet. So I think he has an incredible amount of money in the bank, both physically, you know, both metaphorically and literally. Yeah. I think they'd have to go on a season sabotaging run for something to happen to him, to be honest. Because he's just constantly delivered. Also, the Geordie fans love him and they play great football. And to be fair,
that's good.
If they continue to play great football, the Geordies will stay on side. You know, how man, he's all right, he's our Eddie. Yeah. He will bed it in. And like I said, the football they play counts for a huge amount. Also, if you're the club and let's say, you know, they lose three more on the bounce, there's a real conversation. Who are you going for? You know, who are you going for? You ain't getting Tuchel. You're not going to get Tuchel out of Bayern Munich.
He's a loose cannon though, Tuchel. I mean, I'm just saying that because we're, you know, shooting the breeze. But, yeah. You know, he's kind of moaned this week, hasn't he, in the press, that they didn't do enough at the window to sign a defensive midfielder. You know, I mean, he's a tricky customer, Tuchel. I mean, he fell out with PSG, which is understandable. I mean, Chelsea, he fell out. But again, that's kind of understandable. It's always kind of understandable.
It was Todd Bowley, yeah.
But, you know, if it's kind of, exactly. But Bayern just signed Harry Kane. What have we got to moan about?
Yeah, but to be honest, it's not Tuchel. It's not just Tuchel. The entire fan base is moaning that they haven't signed those players. So to be fair to him, if it was just him, if anything, I think he's parroting fans' complaints. Kind of A, because he means it, he agrees, but also B, to kind of sort of say, yeah, look, I hear you and I agree. And it's also a nice way of building in excuses later down the season. But it's not like they didn't try. Who's the guy at Fulham? Is it Paulinia or Paletta?
Right, yeah.
At Fulham?
Mm-hmm.
Who went to Bayern Munich? £45 million. Picture with the shirt. Interview with the Bayern internal TV channel. All ready to go. Walking towards a training pitch. Come back. Going back to Fulham. They can't find a replacement. Deals off. So needless to say, that poor bastard hasn't played for Fulham since he got back. Because his entire fucking world fell apart at the very last minute. So, you know, there and, you know, fantastic midfielder, fantastic player. You know, it's not like they didn't try, but those things do happen. And that last minute shit is real. And as a Leeds fan, it's happened to us a number of times. So, yeah, in fact, including buying a Bayern Munich player, Michael Cuisance, whose legs turned out to be made of croissant.
true.
Mickey Croissants. So, that was just absolute bollocks, basically. I'd give Tuchel a, you know, I'd put it this way, I'd take him at Leeds.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right, guys. Well, look, that's our kind of sprint through issues of the current time. We will be back to stupid 11s just as soon as there's three of us. So thank you very much, as always, for listening. From me, Howard, goodbye. And from Dave Rothney.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that'd be goodbye then. Catch you later.
Cheers.